About 5 months ago, Boise State Public Radio and the Idaho Statesman began a collaboration to bring together Treasure Valley mayors in one room to talk about growth and transportation, as well as other issues that affect an area when a region is booming. Last night, we hosted five Treasure Valley mayors: Garden City Mayor John Evans, Napa Mayor Debbie Kling, Meridian Mayor Tammy DeVere, Boise Mayor Dave Beter, and Eagle Mayor Stan Ridgway. I co-moderated the event with Idaho Statesman reporter Sven Berg, and Boise State Public Radio reporter Frankie Barnhill planned and organized the entire event. She brought everyone together. They're joining me live in studio today to talk more about the event and also some takeaways from these leaders. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thanks
so much, Shema.
So what was interesting to me last night was how there was more collaboration between the mayors, I think, than any of us would have expected.
Right.
And would you have said that?
Yeah,
too,
totally.
Frankie?
I mean, when I first, I think it was Mayor Ridgway, when I reached out to him in June when we were hoping to bring the event to folks a little bit earlier in the summer, he mentioned, oh, well, you know that we meet every month. And by we, he meant Treasure Valley mayors. And I said, no, I had no idea.
You keep that to yourself.
Yeah. What happens in those meetings? He said, well, can't tell you, but we do, you know, we have a working relationship. And I think that became really clear last night, just how much they really value each other's opinions. And you can imagine. And I guess it makes sense. You know, they're all going through similar things. They're all experiencing this growth. They're all dealing with constituents who have various issues and are, you know, asking tough questions of them all the time. So that made sense to me once I really thought about it.
And what about you, Sven? I mean, this is your beat. I mean, growth, transportation, you talk with these mayors all the time.
Yeah, I think one of the things, like Frankie said here, that really stuck out to me was like, okay, these people have a good working relationship with each other. And that struck me a little bit. But it reminded me that sometimes I think we in the media, sometimes we get a little bit fascinated with, you know, the divisions between mm-hmm. things. And we don't see maybe that things are less divided than maybe they really are than we think. And so I think that kind of came out last night. The other thing is that I am a little bit surprised by how well just the personalities mesh. I mean, there are a few I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can't imagine after last night and after the times that I've interviewed Mayor John Evans of Garden City, like anyone would really have a big personal issue with him. He's just a very kind, easygoing guy. But there are some personalities there that, you know, I could see rubbing, you know, having some friction, you know, and it did seem like there was kind of a broad and respect just across, you know, whether they disagree or agree on issues just for each other.
Right. And the thing that there's a takeaway on that, too. And let's play this soundbite from Mayor Evans from Garden City, because one of the very last question we asked was of a little girl, Caitlin, 10 years old. And she says, what are each of you going to do to make Idaho better? And getting to your point, Sven, about respect, Mayor Evans answered this question to Caitlin, I think, in a pretty mindful way.
We all have an obligation in this environment we are in today to set an example in the way we treat each other. We don't all agree on things. We have different global political positions. But I want to compliment my peers here because there really isn't anything I can't talk to any of these folks about. And I think that's an example that we can set locally that is valuable in the way we conduct our discourse publicly, even if we don't agree with each other.
That was very telling, I think, about the relationship that all of these mayors have with each other. You asked a very interesting question last night, Sven, when you said, what would you be willing to give up mm-hmm. in order to get something? Because that question seems to be arising about, okay, there's growth, there's transportation issues, but we can't have everything. And Mayor Tammy DeVere of Meridian not only answered the question in a fascinating way, it got a strong reaction from the other mayors. So take a quick listen and then we'll talk about that.
We have to start thinking a little bit different. So I would give up a sidewalk on one side of the road so that I can use that same right of way, put it on the other side, and make a more efficient way to move people outside of their cars, whether it's on foot or bicycle or now e-scooters or something like that.
And what you can't see in Radioland is how all of a sudden all of the mayors started nodding their heads. Because at first, when she said, give up a sidewalk, I have to tell you, my first reaction was, what are you talking about? But then when she explained it, of this idea of you have a sidewalk on one side, then you put up some type of berm. You make it safe for bicyclists, for walkers, for runners. Were you surprised, then, with that reaction?
Yeah, and I think my initial reaction was something like you're describing. I was like, wait a minute, that's kind of crazy talk. Because especially, I mean, in a city now, the Mayor DeVert presides over a city that is now Idaho's second with a population of 100,000. That generally flies in the face of what you would think of as good urban mobility principles. But what she's talking about is some kind of non-car but multimodal path. So essentially think of like the green belt instead of
exactly.
A sidewalk. You know, that's an interesting concept. My guess is what we're going to end up with is some kind of separation of bicycles, e-scooters, and walkers, and pedestrians in the future. I don't see there being like a great, you know, like, do you really want your downtown to be like have all these paths where all of those things are kind of in the same place? There's already conflicts between bicycles and pedestrians on sidewalks in downtown Boise right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm skeptical about how this would look. Maybe there could be some division there, but you know what? I would commend Mayor DeVert simply on having an idea. Hey, let's throw something out there. And, you know, if that may lead to other better ideas or, you know, maybe it doesn't work, but at least it's an idea.
Mm-hmm. And Frankie, I mean, I think that was kind of the reaction of the audience as well.
Right.
Night.
Yeah. It was kind of, wait, what does she mean by no sidewalk on one side of the street? And then, oh, but you're going to do it this other way to actually provide for foot traffic, for bikes. And that was really interesting. I think that's one thing that a forum like this provides is the opportunity for them to kind of almost like spitball, like brainstorm a little bit mm-hmm. out loud and say, hey, this is a thought. I don't know how it could work, but what about this? Maybe we should think beyond, you know, the normal confines. And yes, other cities do it this way, but we're our own city. We should be able to, you know, construct our roads and our pathways how we want to.
And, you know, I think a lot of times when we talk about growth, there are people for it, there are people against it, and this is people are passionate about it. And Mayor Beter gave a very interesting answer when we talked about growth, but the reputation that maybe city leaders get when it comes to growth.
The frustration down this row here is that somehow we've done something to amp this growth up. I mean, you know, collectively we work on the Boise Valley Economic Partnership. We try to get good companies to come here, paying good wages. But we don't advertise across the country trying to, you know, leave whatever crappy situation you're in and come to the Treasure Valley. We don't do that.
But they kind of don't need to.
Right. The secret's out, right? I think a couple of mayors said that last night.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mayor Evans, that is a great quote. I mean, I wrote it down as
right.
he said it. He said, look, we are a demand-based economy, and we've been discovered. And, I mean, this is like one of my kind of projection or my predictions about this whole area is like, I think that, you know, at some point we're going to have some kind of broader global economic slowdown across the United States, mm-hmm. possibly in other parts of the world. But I think it's going to take a while to hit Boise, and I'm guessing it will not hit as hard here because I think more and more people are just going to keep moving here. I think the draw is big in itself, but also technology is just making it so much easier. So many more jobs are portable. So many more mm-hmm. people can work from home or can go work at, you know, like whatever, wherever they want to. And so they can pick where they want to live. And where increasingly where people want to live is where they want to play. And again, technology is making it so that playing outdoors, all the things that we have just so close to here, it's just making it so much easier, the bar so much lower for getting out and actually enjoying the outdoors. 50 years ago to go backpacking, you had to really know what you were doing. Now it's a trip to REI, spend a couple $100 and bam, you're walking away with a 30-pound pack and you can hike for 10 miles. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like it's no big deal anymore.
And what was interesting, I think, is, with last night's conversation as well, was that Mayor Kling of Nampa, she was the only mayor representing Canyon County. It is because Mayor Nankolas did he had a conflict, so he couldn't be there last night. We've had him on the program a couple of times, and he was born and raised in Caldwell, and what he's doing in Caldwell is really innovative, and it's going to be interesting to see how Canyon County plays a part in all of this. But one of the things that Mayor Kling talked about, and all of the mayors talked about though, was this possibility of a local option tax. So take a listen to what she said.
And so that's something I think that'll come through this fall or this spring with the legislative session, is that we'll be asking our legislators to consider allowing a local option tax. So the local communities do have the opportunity to vote and choose if they were going to implement a tax to help fund some of the public transportation options.
And so to be clear on this, if you're not sure what that means, Mayor Beter was on the program last week, and one of the things that he really wants to look at is possibly putting something on the ballot in 2020 about a local option tax, where it would be raising sales tax for the city of Boise. That is a local option tax. But Sven, we have to get this through the legislature, correct?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Mayor Beter made that point last night, that he said he's tired. I mean, he did not use these words, but I can tell
you're
you
summing
after covering
this up,
the city of Boise for 6 years, he's really tired of just running his head into the brick wall of the legislature. And so what he wants to do is go around them, just like the Medicaid expansion,
okay,
just
right.
like with the and so he has, and he mentioned this in his State of the City address a couple weeks ago, that the Medicaid expansion and the historical horse racing campaigns kind of showed a roadmap for, hey, this is mm-hmm. how you can kind of energize a variety of just regions across the state that have similar interests. And so even if that happens, then the legislature, you know, they can't stop it. Now, you know, I thought one of the things was really interesting about what Mayor Kling said there, and the people that really follow the public transportation and the local option tax discussion closely can tell you, is that what has been talked about for a long time is a sort of region-wide, to really make public transportation, especially a rail-based transportation system in the Treasure Valley, work, is you would need some kind of a regional system. So Meridian, Nampa, Caldwell would need to get involved. And so there is talk now about, if local option taxing authority were there, you could have a variety of municipalities, cities and counties kind of banding together as a local option taxing district, and then they together could raise more money and then do what makes sense in terms of phasing, in terms of scoping and all that.
And that will be so interesting to see if that happens. And we are running out of time, but speaking of transportation, I want people to hear what Mayor Ridgway of Boise of Eagle said about some of the traffic issues that they're seeing.
In Eagle, the school buses are virtually empty, and the traffic delivering kids to school, you have to build extra turn lanes. The traffic is backed up. You can't get down the street. And I don't know why people will not put their kids on the bus and send them to school. There are some things that we should probably try to work with the school districts and other people to incentivize having people ride the buses, or we might as well quit spending the money on the bus.
I was frankly surprised by that. But then I thought, well, you know what? If you're on Eagle Road, you're not going to have your kid walk to school. And if you're not then in a busing system, if you're close enough to school, you're going to take your kid to school.
Right.
But this goes back to the whole transportation issue again.
Right. And really thinking about these cities. I mean, yes, it is a regional, you know, we're talking collaboratively, but they also have very specific issues. So apparently Eagle parents aren't really comfortable putting their kids on buses maybe, and something could be addressed there. Or maybe it's that, hey, we shouldn't be funding these buses as much if they're not being used.
So very quickly, as we wrap up, what was your biggest takeaway?
I think it's the first thing we talked about. I mean, I get a lot from just watching, you know, people kind of interact, and just the body language of most of the people. They seemed quite comfortable with each other. And that, to me, spoke to a level of cooperation I had not anticipated.
Frankie. Yeah, I would reiterate that, and also say just in general, the audience questions were so smart, so point on. It was great to see so many people come out last night, and we will hopefully be rebroadcasting this later on, so those who couldn't make it. But yeah, I always love to see those audience questions. I mean, people in Treasure Valley are so smart and so passionate about this issue.
And the plan is, for people who weren't able to attend last night, is that we will air on Idaho Matters on October 30th, we will air the whole forum for people. So we will, of course, keep you updated on that. I want to thank both of you for coming in today, Sven Berg, Idaho Statesman reporter, and our own Frankie Barnhill. Thanks so much for coming back and recapping last night's event.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for having me on.